Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the President's speech today in Michigan, where the Republican governor is about to sign a bill to make Michigan the 24th right-to-work state, prompting the President to remark that the bill amounts to the right to work for less. Zach Pohl, the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, joins us to discuss how and why the Republicans are making gains in a state that voted overwhelmingly Democrat in the last election. Then we'll examine the latest indication that Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez is gravely ill, forcing him to name his foreign minister as a successor. Javier Corrales, the professor of political science at Amherst College, joins us. He's the author of Dragon in the Tropics, Hugo Chavez and the Political Economy of Revolution in Venezuela. We will discuss Venezuela's foreign policy that is unpopular at home for its support of Gaddafi, Ahmadinejad, and the Assad regime in Syria. Then finally, we'll examine the award of the Nobel Peace Prize to the European Union and speak with Stephen Hill, the author of Europe's Promise, Why the European Way is the Best Hope for an Insecure World. We'll discuss how, in spite of a faltering economy, most Europeans enjoy a higher standard of living and quality of life than their American counterparts, whose very limited social safety net is likely to be cut soon in the name of reducing the deficit to avoid the fiscal cliff. And joining us now is Zach Pohl, who's the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, a citizens watchdog group working to hold public officials accountable. Previously, he worked as Communications Director for We Are the People, a statewide coalition of students, seniors, and workers advocating for Michigan's middle class. And he also served as Press Secretary and Communications Director for former U.S. Representative Mark Schauer, Democrat of Michigan, from 2008 to 2010. Welcome to Background Briefing, Zach Pohl.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And the president gave a speech at Daimler's Detroit Diesel Division in Redford, Michigan today, where he talked, of course, about the so-called fiscal cliff negotiations going on, which, of course, made most of the headlines. However, he did talk about the efforts on the part of the Michigan legislature and its Republican governor, Rick Snyder, to make Michigan a right-to-work state. The president said the so-called right-to-work laws do not have anything to do with economics. They have to do with politics. And in effect, the right-to-work laws are about the right to work for less money. Is this going to deter the governor to sign this bill?
I sure hope so, but I'm not holding my breath. It's pretty clear that Governor Snyder and Republicans here in Lansing are dead set on passing this so-called right-to-work legislation. The question is how soon? Right now it looks like a vote will probably take place tomorrow. But the bottom line is activists on the ground here are mobilizing for a pretty big rally at the state capitol tomorrow to send a message loud and clear to politicians in Lansing that we think right-to-work is wrong for Michigan.
But it looks like the Democrats and the political left and the unions got caught by surprise because they've rammed this bill through this week, going through both legislative chambers in less than a day. And what is there to assume that the governor will not sign it? I know that the Michigan's congressional delegation met with him and weighed in. What do you know about that meeting?
Well, I know that the delegation strongly urged the governor to reconsider his position on right to work. What's been frustrating is that Governor Snyder has frankly been all over the map on this issue. When he was a candidate for the Republican nomination in 2010, he point blank said that he would sign a right to work bill if it hit his desk. However, he spent the last 2 years telling everyone that it's not on his agenda. He thinks it's divisive and that he didn't want to see a bill on his desk. That changed last week when he came out of a press conference and announced that he now was supporting right-to-work legislation. And I think maybe what caught people most by surprise was not that he suddenly supported it, but the speed and the tactics that were used to pass this. The bill was introduced just shortly after a press conference last Thursday, and a vote was taking place on the House floor in a matter of hours. And maybe most troubling was the Capitol doors were locked. As soon as this debate started happening on the floor, there wasn't a committee hearing, but people were locked out of the building. We were told by the state police it was because the building was at capacity. In reality, it was nowhere near full. It was really just a way to keep activists outside of the building, I think most likely because the governor was afraid of Michigan turning into another Wisconsin like we saw in 2011.
But this is a governor who outspent his Democratic opponents in 2010. He rode in on the Tea Party wave. That was a midterm election victory that the Republicans had in various states, largely engineered by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and Karl Rove, largely funded by the American Petroleum Institute. It shouldn't have caught anybody by surprise that this guy was a Tea Party guy.
Well, you know, as I said, Governor Snyder sort of tried to have it both ways. He's tried very hard to come across as more of a moderate than his counterparts in Wisconsin with Governor Walker and Ohio with Governor Kasich. In reality, he's been just as aggressive on labor issues as Kasich and Walker. He passed this so-called emergency manager law in 2011, which gives appointees by the governor's office the ability to come in to local communities and local school districts, tear up union contracts, fire local workers, and basically strip all power from local elected officials. He's sort of been able to fly under the radar compared to Walker and Kasich because he has this persona of being, you know, sort of a nice guy. You know, he calls himself a nerd. In reality, he's been just as aggressive in passing what's a pretty blatant power grab on the part of corporate special interests here in Michigan.
Again, I'm speaking with Zach Pohl, who's the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, a citizens watchdog group working to hold public officials accountable. Previously, he worked as Communications Director for We Are the People, a statewide coalition of students, seniors, and workers advocating for Michigan's middle class. And the right to work law that Michigan is poised to pass would make Michigan the 24th state in the United States to have a right to work law. And again, as I mentioned, in the 2010 elections, Kasich came in to Ohio and aggressively moved in that direction. Most recently, Indiana signed the law. Similar anti-union laws, of course, were passed in Wisconsin, resulting in quite a bit of pushback there. But nevertheless, Governor Scott Walker prevailed. You mentioned, Zach, that the unions and the nurses, I believe, are going to show up at the state capitol with duct tape over their mouths. There's going to be quite a lot of a backlash. But, you know, the barn door's open and the horse is down the paddock. What can you do?
Well, I think, you know, politicians are going to do what they're going to do. They're either going to pass this bill or not. Right now, it certainly looks that they will be passing this bill potentially as soon as tomorrow. I think what comes next is how elected officials get held accountable. We saw over the weekend here some local actions in Senate districts, including one in the Kalamazoo area where people went dressed as elves and Santa's helpers and delivered coal to one Republican state senator, Tanya Shootmaker. You're going to see other small rallies, protests, some town hall meetings in legislative districts across the state over the next 2 years. I think you're going to see organized labor, middle-class families coming together in a way you haven't seen before. To really hold elected officials accountable here for this vote, pushing this through at the 11th hour during the lame duck session.
So will this involve recalls like we had in Wisconsin?
You know, I don't think anyone's taken anything off the table at this point. Back in 2011, State Representative Paul Scott was recalled from office for pushing a pretty aggressive anti-union agenda. He was actually the first lawmaker to be recalled in the state of Michigan since 1983. I think it's certainly possible that we may see something like that. It's still an open question at this point. If there were to be recalls, the first likely target would be in the state Senate, because under the Constitution, you can't recall anyone following an election for a period of 6 months. And since we didn't have state Senate elections this year, state senators would be the first target. So it's certainly something I think it's on the table at this point. But the bottom line is you're going to see citizens across the state holding politicians' feet to the fire for this vote.
Well, of course, Michigan is the birthplace of the modern labor movement. So this strikes a lot of people as being a real poke in the eye for the labor movement in this country, which is obviously diminished in influence over the decades, down to about 6% of the private workforce. You've also, in accompanying this sort of stealth passage of this right-to-work law in Michigan by the Republicans in both legislatures, and the government's poised to sign it, this has been accompanied by a $1 million television and radio campaign put forth by the Michigan Freedom Fund, along with Americans for Prosperity, the billionaire Koch brothers organization. They've been producing pamphlets and distributing them throughout Lansing and throughout Michigan. So the right wing are hitting the ground running. They're organized. This is, I guess, a victory for them.
You know, unfortunately, it seems to be that way, at least right now in the short term. I mean, I think you're absolutely right that this this pretty aggressive power grab has been in the works for quite some time. Interestingly, just today, the state Democratic Party here in Michigan released a video of the former Republican Party chairman here in Michigan talking about the fact that this is something that's been in the works since 2007. They've been conducting extensive polling research, focus groups. At one point, they even considered putting their own amendment to the state constitution on the ballot. But that ultimately, they made the decision to wait to push right-to-work legislation until they had a Republican governor. And so now, here we are in the lame duck session following the 2012 elections. Governor Snyder and the Republican legislature are poised to pass this bill. Clearly something that's been in the works for some time. I don't think it should come as a surprise to anyone, but I think the next steps are going to be, as I said, you know, making sure that the public is fully aware of how this is going to hurt Michigan's middle class and holding these elected officials accountable back in their home districts.
But Zach Pohl, this looks like a part of the 2010 Rove plan, in effect, where you put in a Tea Party governor, as they did in Ohio and in Wisconsin, and you push through all of this model legislation created by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which, by the way, 60 Minutes did an expose on Sunday, to the extent that the mainstream press is waking up to ALEC, which has been operating for some time. This governor's been around since 2010. It seems as though, when you say it's a lame duck session, what does that mean? Is he going out of office?
Governor Snyder's not, but the state legislature, you know, we just had the election, and so in the state house, Democrats picked up 5 seats, so there will Republicans will have a much narrower majority next year. And in fact, with the margin that they had to pass right to work last Thursday, it's clear that if they had waited until 2013, they wouldn't have the votes to pass this in the state house. So that seems to be the reason for pushing this right now, because it seems otherwise they wouldn't have the votes to pass this through the state house.
But does that mean that there's a possibility on that the new Democratic legislature would be able to overturn it?
Unfortunately, it doesn't seem that way. You know, Democrats have moved closer to taking the majority, but Republicans will still have control next year. So, you know, Democrats won't be able to overturn this. Now, there is the possibility that people could put a measure on the ballot in 2014 to essentially pass what's called a Citizens Initiative, which would effectively enact new legislation to overturn right-to-work bill. That's certainly something that's been put out on the table as a possibility, and I think it's something we may see develop over the coming months.
Again, I'm speaking with Zach Pohl, who's Executive Director of Progress Michigan, a Citizens Watchdog Group, working to hold public officials accountable. Previously, he worked as Communications Director for We Are the People, a statewide coalition of students, seniors, and workers advocating for Michigan's middle class. Now, these right-to-work laws that ALEC have pushed along with other anti-labor and right-wing initiatives, including the Stand Your Ground law that came to people's attention with the shooting down in Florida of Trayvon Martin, clearly they indicate the power of money versus the power of people. Now, it sounds like the people are getting organized in Michigan, even though it's too late to stop this bill. But just to address the bills themselves, these right to work, and of course the right to work has been in the South for some time, and it's pretty clear, isn't it, that the real motive behind passing these right to work laws are that they will defund unions, because it means that union members can get the benefits of what the unions have forced employers to give their workers, but they don't have to pay their dues. So isn't that the heart of this bill?
Oh, you're absolutely right, Ian. Basically, this would make it illegal for employers and employees to negotiate a collective bargaining agreement that requires all workers in that workplace to contribute their fair share towards the cost of negotiating and enforcing that collective bargaining agreement. Under current law, nobody's actually forced to join a union. People can, if they choose not to join the union, pay what's called an agency fee, which covers their share of that collective bargaining agreement. Right to work would essentially allow some workers in a union workplace to enjoy the benefits of union wages and benefits without contributing anything in dues or agency fees. It actually, supporters of Right to Work have started calling it freedom to work. In reality, it's the freedom to freeload. As I said, it would allow some workers to benefit from union wages and benefits without contributing towards that collective bargaining agreement. It's fundamentally unfair, and as you said, is all about weakening unions because, let's face it, corporations, CEOs like the Koch brothers know that unions are one of the few remaining checks on corporate power. Unions are one of the few institutions that are, stopping CEOs from shipping more American jobs overseas to countries like China. And so, Right to Work legislation, again, is really just a power grab for CEOs to continue to undermine union power. And we know that it's ultimately going to weaken the middle class here in Michigan.
Well, just in closing, Zach Pohl, I find this whole thing quite disturbing and quite surprising, given what the American people have stated, if you will, through this most recent election. We have a president who was outspent massively by the Republicans, who nevertheless won a popular vote victory that's much greater than any of the recent presidents, including Ronald Reagan. The final count was about 5 million ahead in the popular vote. And of course, he trounced Romney in the Electoral College. He also won Michigan. The Democrats won more votes in the House, even though the Republicans control it because of Republican gerrymandering. So just to, step back a bit and look at the broad political landscape, the American people spoke pretty clearly that they are on the side of working and middle-class Americans. And yet here you have this incredible attack on the working and Americans in the middle class by the Republican legislature in Michigan.
You're absolutely right, Ian. Yeah, Democrats here, voted to reelect President Obama in Michigan. Senator Debbie Stabenow won with a pretty astounding 20-point margin. Democrats, as you said, got more votes collectively across the state for state house candidates than Republicans, and yet we will have the minority next year. And that just speaks to the influence of corporate money in elections, the influence of special interests in the redistricting process. It's sad, and it's I think ultimately a sad reflection on our democracy that this is happening right now here in Michigan. But the bottom line is people are going to continue to fight this fight. People are mobilizing as we speak to come to the Capitol tomorrow to make their voices heard. And while we may not stop this legislation from passing tomorrow, this fight's only going to continue, and people are going to continue to speak up and fight for the middle class here in Michigan. And I certainly don't anticipate that stopping anytime soon.
Well, Zach Pohl, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thanks, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Zach Pohl, who's the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, a citizens watchdog group working to hold public officials accountable. Previously, he worked as Communications Director for We Are the People, a statewide coalition of students, seniors, and workers advocating for Michigan's middle class, and he also served as Press Secretary and Communications Director for former U.S. Representative Mark Shea, Democrat of Michigan from 2008 to 2010. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about Hugo Chavez's health and his choice of a successor.
If the lakes took the place of the sea, if the cars drove themselves, way to be opposite to the trains moving.